This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders on this first Sunday in Advent. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order CDs and copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are thankful you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us again next Sunday on this station.
Have you ever made yourself known to God in such a way that you're kind of desperate and you cry out, "Oh God, make yourself known to me"? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we have entered into the Advent season, and we thank you that you here reveal to us that God has come to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ to make full substitution for all of our sins, to conquer Satan and his ugly ways, and to promise us a place in the kingdom of heaven. Grant, O God, as we meditate these Advent Sundays and throughout the week, that we may understand that you have a God who daily, yes, even every minute, make yourself known. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, have you ever prayed that prayer, "Lord, make yourself known, known to the nation, and known to ourselves"? Isaiah had prayed that prayer many times to God, and now he was desperate, and once again he said, "Oh Lord, make yourself known to our people." We have celebrated Thanksgiving, and now we have entered the Advent season, the four Sundays that are used to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Christ child. While there are millions of people in our nation who know Jesus Christ in a very personal way and hear his voice speaking to us daily, there are still millions of people here in our country for whom we pray, O Lord, in this Advent season, will you please make yourself known to them? Isaiah was a prophet who spoke to Judah and Jerusalem around the year 700 B.C., and at times he grew weary. He preached to the people, and many of them paid little or no attention to the message. So in the following verses, he presents to God a record of what he did pray on those particular times. Let me read you just some of these verses from the 64th chapter of Isaiah. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, God, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has preserved, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on our behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against us, you are angry. How can we then be saved? No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us. O Lord, come and make yourself known. It is a prayer that Isaiah had often prayed, I'm sure. If only someone would come. On other occasions, God did make himself known in a miraculous way, and the people recalled these stories and told of the God who was with them at that time. But where is he now? For example, there was that time when they were leaving Egypt in flight, and Pharaoh's troops were right behind them. There before them was a Red Sea. And you know the story, that God parted the Red Sea and the Israelites walked through on dry land. And when they were safely on the other side and the Egyptians were in the middle of the sea, God permitted the land to go back to its natural source. This was a sign that the people could see with their own eyes that they believed God was leading them. But it didn't last too long. On another occasion, the Israelites complained to Moses, saying, "We are hungry. In Egypt, we were slaves, but we had plenty to eat. We got 3 square meals a day. Why then, Moses, if you love us and you lead us out here into the wilderness on our way to the promised land, why doesn't God provide for the necessities so that we can keep our bodies strong and healthy?" So Moses went and told what they were saying, and God fed them with bread and manna. Each morning, there was some bread for them. Each night, there was meat. And again, many people believed that God was watching over them. But now Moses had complained that they had not heard from God in these miraculous days. So he does pray that prayer. Oh God, will you not please take care of us and make the people know that we are under your care? So Isaiah, the prophet at that particular time, also said, "Yes, God, make it known." Then came the day when God revealed himself by coming to this world and revealing himself as the God-man. We call that the incarnation. God became man in the person of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem's manger. You recall that, and we're going to get into that more in the weeks that are before us. Later on, 3 years later, he revealed himself as a Savior who died for our sins. And then 3 days after his death on Calvary's cross, he reveals himself as at the empty tomb. He had risen. He was not there. He was not a dead martyr. Rather, he was a living Lord. Reveal that, O God, in this Advent season. Reveal it, we pray, that millions may come to know Christ as the one who is here with us now and will be with us in the kingdom of heaven forever if we die trusting in him. God does reveal himself in many ways, but the greatest way is always in Christ. It is Jesus himself who has said, "I and the Father are one." And when Jesus has said this, he is revealing that he is God. Now, sometimes Jesus makes himself very personally to us. Let me tell you a story. It was in October when I received a telephone call from the head coach of a university here in the Midwest. I knew him well. He told me it was a Saturday morning, and his team was playing in a football game that afternoon. It was homecoming at the university, and all people were psyched out to have a great, great ball game. When suddenly he got the word before the game was to start that his daughter had an accident. She had been broadsided by a large truck, and the car rolled over at least two times and landed on its top. The word came to the coach, and he rushed to the daughter's side and found her out there. Everything was okay except that she had a badly broken arm, but she otherwise was not hurt. She looked at her father when he said, "Are you okay?" And she answered, "Yes. Jesus was sitting right by me." The coach, a very committed man himself, said, "Yes, I understand." "And then are you all right?" She said, "Yes, I am. He was sitting right here beside me, and he turned and protected me as the car was rolling over and landing on his top." 2 days later, she and her father were talking again, and she said, "Dad, I don't think you got the full meaning of what I told you, that Jesus was with me. He was right by my side." And then she went on and explained it. Jesus was there. Later, the coach had a chance to read the police report, and in it, the patrolman had written down what the man who hit the coach's daughter has asked. "Whatever happened to that man who was sitting beside her?" Meaning Jesus. He had seen him too. Jesus revealed himself personally to this young lady especially, but also to the other driver. Thrilled with this testimony, I said to the coach, "You have taught her well." He replied, "We have a good church, and we have an excellent pastor. He preaches the gospel, and we want the children to know the way. But I want you to know that as far as I'm concerned, it all began that day when I sat and talked with you in your study. And I asked you if you could describe or tell me or define what this gospel is all about." "I have about 15 minutes," he said. So quickly I gave him a short presentation of the gospel, that we are born in sin and that we were guilty of transgressing the laws of God. But God loved us so much that he came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus suffered and died at the cross, and then said, "If anyone will receive me, I will forgive him his sins, and he can live with me forever in heaven. I walk with you." The coach said, "Remember when I prayed that prayer and I asked Jesus into my life? I have often sinned. I sin continually. I am not a full-grown Christian, not yet, but I'm working at it. I go to Bible studies, we go to church, and we want our children to know the way. But it was only when I knew myself that I could begin to help others, including my family." So you see, friend, there are times when Jesus reveals his way in some very interesting situations. But what he wants us to know, "I am with you. I am not the hidden God. I am the God who reveals to you myself in the person of Jesus Christ. I have revealed it to you in the creation. I have revealed it to you in situations where you had no way to turn, but I was there. But now there are millions of people with whom the church comes in contact on a daily basis, and I'm revealing to them through my church that the greatest revelation is Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus said, 'If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one.' Now, either I am all that, or I am a terrible person. But you know I'm all that. And I'm right here with you. And I don't want to be the hidden God. I want to walk with you through your life in trials and temptations. And so I walk with you right now as we preach this sermon. The sermon that tells us that our Lord Jesus has really come and that he's here watching over us." That's the Advent service, I believe we can say. That's what he's going to tell us during these next four Sundays, in order that we may understand that Jesus is not just another man, but Jesus is a God-man. And when he and the other biblical writers reveal themselves in the Word of God, Jesus is revealing himself to us. Thanksgiving is over, and if my calendar is right, it is only 28 days until Christmas. Listen to God speak in that Advent text. You remember he came to the young lady, Mary. She was betrothed to her fiancé, Joseph. They were going to get married. Two fine young people. And then the angel said to her, "Mary, you're going to have a baby." And she said, "How can that be? How can that be? For I know no man." And Joseph also got the message that Mary was going to give birth to a child. And then it was that Joseph said, "No, this can't be. Mary was not that kind of a person, is not that kind of a person, and I'm not going to put her to any embarrassment. So what I'm going to do is divorce her quietly." And then the angel said, "No. No, Joseph, don't do that. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a child, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from all of their sin." I tell you, friend, that's the Advent message. This was all happening before Christmas Day. And then you recall, as they got closer to the time Herod had called that all of the people had to go to the county seat and enroll themselves. And it was while they were there in Bethlehem that Mary delivered the child. And the angels saw this, and they were praising God, crying out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, goodwill." That's the message. Jesus has come into this world. When that child was born in Bethlehem manger, he was truly a human being. He ate, he drank, he needed sleep, all of these things. But that Jesus is God. Jesus has come in the person of God to reveal to us, not just once in a while, like passing through the Red Sea, or providing food, that too was important. But he has revealed to us that where we are, so is he. And we get in some terrible, terrible predicaments. There's a lot of heartache. And we cry out, "Oh God, where are you? What can I do? Where can I go? Where can I find you?" And he said, "Turn in my word, and I'll be with you." If you have just lost a loved one, or one is slipping away very easily, just remember it was he who said, "I am going to come someday and take you to myself if you trust me." That is how God reveals himself. We are not without a God. We are very much with a God. A God who loves us and is going to bless us with another Christmas. Well, my friends, as we seem to say the same thing every Advent season and Christmas, we say it again because we can't hear it too often. It is a busy time of the year. People are traveling to be with loved ones during this great time. And that takes a lot of time. We are also cooking, baking, doing all these nice things, going around, buying presents, because we're going to have a great Christmas. And we pray that all of you will, and that you will enjoy one another. But through all of this, we pray that you will take time out in these days before Christmas to celebrate the Advent season, that Jesus Christ may be known to you. Amen.
Kingdoms rise.
Would you pray with me an Advent prayer? Grant, O Lord Almighty God, that as your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, at his first Advent came to seek and to save that which was lost, so at his second and glorious appearing, he may find in us the fruits of the redemption which he wrought, Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, make us to live soberly, justly, and righteously in this present age. And as we look for that blessed hope and the coming of the Lord, may we walk in the path of holiness, that by thy grace we may come to the eternal inheritance which thou hast prepared for those who love you. This we pray through God Almighty, who is the Blessed One, both now and forevermore. And together let us pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you in this Advent season a very blessed peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we conclude another Thanksgiving celebration, we offer our prayers and thanks to God for our many listeners. May God bless you and those whom you love as you travel home from your destination. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. Memorials and honorarium gifts are a meaningful way to remember a loved one. We are thankful for each of our listeners who remember Christian Crusaders with their prayers and gifts. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you can call 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the Internet. Hundreds of other Christian Crusaders sermons can be found in our sermon library. Please check us out on the web at christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 75th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.